Hello, we are on the air. This is Kathy Cook, Bridging Wisdom, with Ernie Shepherd tonight. Ernie Shepherd was the vocals on The Silent Night that you all just heard, you active listening audience. Today's date is 12/6/2011. It's an anniversary of mine being here at BBS Radio since 2006. Ernie, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Kathy, and congratulations on your anniversary.
Well, thank you. Feels like a little home here to me. I've been home for, you know, I feel like we're on the bridge, you know, like a little ship, and we're just out there floating around, and nobody or anybody is bothering us or taking, you know, but you can feel those energy waves where people come in. Give me some, you are a tribute to Journey?
Yeah, we're, I'm part of a band. I'm part of a band that is out of Charlotte, North Carolina, called Trial by Fire. What the name of the band is after the last studio album with the original singer, Steve Perry. And we travel up and down the East Coast doing Journey shows for people. And being a long lifetime Journey fan, it's a dream of mine to get to stand in the place for Steve Perry.
Well, I tell you what, he is something. I saw him in concert many times. He's a short little guy with a little shy personality.
Yeah, he's a great guy. I wish I got to meet him as many times as you have. I've only seen him in concert twice, but I'll tell you, I hope he comes back and does another show because I'll be first in line.
Well, I tell you what, he'd be honored to have you. You know, I was just taken away with your music and the sounds that you have. That I thought I was listening to Journey.
Oh, thank you, thank you.
Yes, I did.
That's a great compliment.
Yeah, he's like you called him the master. And
I don't think there's anybody out there that can touch Steve Perry vocally when singing that kind of music. The closest person I can think of was his inspiration, Sam Cooke. And growing up listening to both of them, I think it gives me an advantage of singing those songs, and also just the love for the music. I think that it helps, too. It's not I'm trying to sing Journey songs. I'm singing songs I love to sing. They just happen to be Journey songs. So.
Well, how did you get started in focusing on Journey?
Oh, it's kind of a funny story. Growing up, you know, we talk about, you know, the Bridge of Wisdom and you know, the universe guiding you and all these wonderful things. I remember being 10 years old, staring in the mirror, lip-syncing along to Don't Stop Believing when the Escape album came out. And I said, if I could do this for a living someday, I'd be very happy. Well, unfortunately, I didn't listen to that. And 30 years later, I was being led by money and things that we don't really care too much for, but we think we need. And I had a very lonely Thanksgiving. And I pulled out my guitar, and I really hadn't been in a band that had ever done a Journey song just because of my fear for how great the vocals are. And I was bored. I had nothing to do, and I pulled out my guitar and started playing this Journey song, Lights. And the more I played it, the better it sounded. And I said, maybe I could do this. And I went to an audition for a local band, and they happened to do some Journey songs. And I did those. I did three that they knew. And when I was done, they were looking at me kind of funny, and I thought I had blown the audition. And they looked at me and they said, "You're messing with us because you sound just like the guy from Journey." It and that was the beginning for me. And that was only about 2 years ago.
Tell you.
So here it is, you know, 30 years later, and the little kid in the mirror is getting to stand up on stage and share Journey, you know?
I tell you. Do you mind if I play through my computer? I'm going to see if it'll pull up Don't Stop Believing.
Oh, yeah, go ahead. That'd be great.
So the people can hear what the song that you're talking about. Let's see what it is. Here we go. This is Don't Stop Believing by Ernie Shepherd and his band.
Thank you.
Very nice.
Wonderful hearing that.
You sound just like them.
Well, you know, being the person singing, I definitely hear the differences, you know, and I'm grateful that, you know, people think and they hear the similarities, and that's just an honor for me. But, you know, I hear myself singing, I go, oh, that's me. And it's a great surprise, and it's wonderful at the same time, you know?
Yeah. You know, I'm from Charlotte, North Carolina.
Oh, really? That's wonderful. Well, you have to come see one of our shows sometime.
Yes, born and raised here.
Really? Look at that, small world.
I know, I've been in a five-mile radius all my life. I don't know around much.
Originally from Boston, Massachusetts. I'm in the southwest part of Charlotte, over by Tega Cay, over by Lake Wylie.
Yeah.
I love it. I'm originally from Boston. I was born there, and the Boston accent drove me crazy, so I had to move. And not to mention that it snows there an awful lot.
Yeah. So, we're lucky to get 2 snows a year.
Yeah, and they're great snows.
It's all different.
Yeah. I like it, though. I like how people talk down here. We went to the Red Fest Club growing up. What's that?
Our family was a member of the Red Fest Club growing up.
Oh, really?
That's where I learned to swim at Lake Wylie.
Oh, yeah. Wow, that's great. That's amazing.
Have you ever been there?
No, I don't think I have. I think I've been by.
Yeah, it's before you get to the Buster Board Bridge.
What's the name of it again?
The Red Fest Club. It's off of Youngblood Road.
Yeah, no, I've never been. No, I know. I think I know where it is. I know Youngblood. And in fact, I'm actually very close to Youngblood right now.
Yeah, are you on this side of the Buster Board or the other side?
I'm on the Steel Creek side.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you're right there near Camp Thunderbird, the Native American.
That's right. Yeah.
We went there every year. It's nice to have a local here on air with us tonight. And not only that, such a talented one. Who all are in your band and what do they play?
Oh, on the drums, we have Matthew Thompson, who's an amazing drummer. On the bass guitar, we have Tony Newell. On the piano keyboard, we have Mr. Frank Joseph. And on guitar, an amazing player. They're all amazing players, don't get me wrong. But this guy just is magic on the guitar. His name is Dan Fournier. And we're all kind of local here to Charlotte.
And vocals?
What's that?
Vocals?
Oh, yeah, all locals. I mean, we all came from... The funny thing about Charlotte, either you were born here or you moved here. And a lot of the people, like Tony is originally from South Carolina, and lived there his whole life. And everybody else has come from a different part of the world. Frank is from Iowa. I'm sorry?
How'd you all get together?
You know, the magic of Craigslist is how the band came together, to be honest. After that audition that I was telling you about earlier, I was told that I should put together a band. So I turned to Craigslist and I put out an ad, and that's how I met the drummer, Matthew. And I had already known the piano player, Frank, a good part of my life. I met him working up in New England. And everybody else just kind of came through, you know, the ads. And, you know, we tried people out, and some people weren't a good fit. And the band has changed and grown over the last few years. But now we have the family, and that's what it's like. It's like a family. Five brothers that have the same goal in mind, which is to bring Journey's music to people that want to hear it.
That's what it's all about. Family, feeling at home where you belong. That's how I feel here at BBS Radio.
Yeah, the funny thing, Kathy, about being on stage, it's a very vulnerable place. A lot of people don't realize that. You get up there, and every night before you go on, you say to yourself, well, I sure hope I can bring it tonight, you know? And if you don't have that family with you on stage, backing you up and supporting you, it can be a scary place. But when you turn around and you see 4 people that are there to help you succeed, it sure makes it a lot easier.
It does. Support is the main ingredient, basically, in life. You know, we can do it ourselves, but it takes that support to give us that feeling of security and care and knowing that they're going to be there no matter what.
Very true.
Now, is your band spiritual, or do they?
Well, you know, new movement? I think everybody in their own way has their connection. You know, I was in the mainstream church for the longest time, but unfortunately, you know, I guess there's a saying, you know, I love you, Jesus, but, you know, it's your church sometimes that makes you look bad. You know, and I don't like to get into a judgment place. I just found that it wasn't for me. I couldn't really hear what I needed to hear because too many people were talking. Me personally, I believe that there's definitely an energy that turns this earth and grows the flowers. And I think if you find a way to yield to that energy and not fight, that your life will go as it should.
Right.
Because the master has a plan. Mm-hmm. But when you struggle, he kind of smiles at you and says, okay, well, if you need to struggle, struggle. But when you're done struggling, let me do it. Let me help you. You know,
exactly. So, if people could take that to heart and realize that their attitude is mostly what it's made up of, and surrender mm-hmm. and let God, their higher power, work through yeah. them, and just truly have just the feeling of love and care out there, and to be able to give what one has, such as your music, is who you are, and to be able to give that out and give the credits where they're due is amazing, you know, because it humbles me when I do that kind of work.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah.
You know,
I do agree.
Excuse me?
Oh, I said I agree.
Yeah. Do you feel that when you get on stage that you go into kind of a mode, like a spiritual mode, or do you psych yourself up? Do you meditate? What do you give us something that you do before you go on stage with the love?
Before we go there, I just want to say that I think that my ability to sing is God's way of saying that he loves me. It's like his gift to me. He knows my heart. He knows what I love. And he saw me growing up loving this music. And he said, here, I'm going to give you a gift. You can sing this music. And I know when you sing it, it makes you happy. And what he asks of me, I believe, is that I share it with people. And that I touch their lives. So, yeah, but when I hit the stage or just before I go in and do a performance, first thing I have to say is I fight the fear that I might not be good that night. That always hits me first. And then I got to let go of that. I got to just trust that everything will be fine. And I calm myself down, and then as soon as the first song starts, I'm home.
Yeah.
I'm safe. And it just comes out. And sometimes when it comes out, I'm like, where'd that come from? And then I smile because I know where it came from.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's a wonderful thing. It really is.
I wrote a poem one time about courage is fear that said its prayer, and how I hold on with my clutch so tight and dear to that dream that I have, and that once I let go and do like the dead man's float, then I survive. Mm-hmm. And once I let go, like pushing your fingers in the Chinese handcuffs, they get tighter and tighter, but once I let go, it's there. Also, yeah, I feel that if you, like you said, gift, he gave you a gift and you're to give it out and share it. To me, a gift, since we're here at Christmas time, is if I gave you a gift, per se, of, you know, like say a truck or a car, you know, little matchbox car as a little kid, and say I wanted that gift back because I liked it so much, then that would not be benefit to you. You know, it's like giving to God our problems and our worries, our wants, our desires, our love. And once we give those out to him, we are so human to want to take them back and not have that faith that all is well.
Oh, I agree. I think one of the biggest mistakes that we make as people is that we want to play the role of God. We want to handle it, but we mess it all up, you know, and we need to step aside and let the power be the power and just enjoy what the power can do. Mm-hmm. It's like trying to go out and make a sunset. You can't make a sunset. You just enjoy a sunset.
Right.
And if you tried to make one, you'd miss the sunset because you'd be too busy trying to make one.
Exactly. And also, I've learned to allow other people, or not, they're if they love me, let them be here. But if they're not good for me, I pray every night for God to bring into my life people, places, and things along the way that he feels is good and good, great for what I'm to do. And I pray for him to remove all people, places, and things that are not of his will. And then I speak for me, act for me, do for me, be for me, in always shapes and forms as I go out there to give a message. And it seems to just unfold the way God wants it to do. Now, I believe that we were created in one image of God, and that was his soul. And the rest was man produced, because he gave us the gift to breathe and reproduce. The rest is man made. And so with that, it makes me realize that when I hold on to a problem or situation, and if I let it go and let God have it, then it's going to get fixed the right way in the proper way, because only God knows. If I try to pull it back and think and dwell on it, manifest, try to twist it in my head and get in my thinking tank, then it screws it all up, because that old ego wants to get in there and have its talk with me, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But I tell
well,
you.
I couldn't agree with you more there. It's so true. When we try to control, it's usually based out of fear, and it's not based out of love. When we want to do something because we need to do it, it's because we're afraid of the outcome if we don't do it. And when we put our energy in that direction, nothing comes of good of it, because it's ego-based, you know, like you said, protecting the self, you know. And real higher energy is almost forgetting the self. It's selflessness. You just are part of everything, and you trust that when you give to everything, everything you need will just be provided. You know, the birds of the air, you know, they don't worry about food, you know, as a biblical text would say. You know, we worry so much that we forget to enjoy life. And I don't think that's why we're here. I don't think we're here to worry. I think we're here to enjoy. I think music was created to be sung. And I think birds and flowers and mountains were meant to be enjoyed. And sometimes we just get caught up in, you know, making our bank account bigger. And, I mean, how many millionaires out there are miserable? You know, money definitely cannot buy happiness. Many have tried.
To me, worry is like a rocking chair. I say this often on this broadcast, because I have a rocking chair and I keep a rock beside it because I collect stones. But I pick one up if something's worrying or bothering me. And other people don't have the power to cause that to affect me. It's me choosing that. So I pick up a stone and I put it in the rocking chair with me, and I rock, because worry is like a rocking chair. It gets you virtually nowhere. But I look at the situation, and I look at the contemplation of, why is this affecting me? Not them, but something inside of me that it is affecting. And it comes to the conclusion of exactly what I need to do to keep my vessel clean, in order to have all those what ifs and worries and frets placed into my head, and not removing them at the proper time. Meditation is a lot of good, does me a lot of good. I learn to just blank myself out. And whatever, that's to me, is listening to God, to where the prayer is talking to God. I don't know if you guys do meditations before show or what, but
I think we all have our own routines that we go through. Me personally, I try my very best not to worry. That's usually when I make my mistake. When I think about things too much, I'll forget lyrics, or I'll come in at the wrong spot, or oh, it's just ridiculous, you know. It's too much of me getting in the way. So what I try to do is remove myself completely. To speak on what you were saying just now, I once read somewhere that people are like mirrors for you. They hold up mirrors for you to look at yourself and see your weaknesses. Mm-hmm. When people hurt you, they're not really the ones hurting you. You're the one hurting yourself.
Exactly.
And their job is just to hold up that mirror so you can see it, so you can recognize it and then release it.
Correct. Very good.
Yeah.
Do you have any more things that you could share with the active listening audience on, you know, just the spiritual world, the spiritual life, and how your music benefits you, not only through completion of knowing that you have done well, but that you have found where your calling was?
Sure, yeah. Well, like I said earlier, I was part of the Christian church, and I'm not bashing any churches, but what I learned about church is that they tend to be someone that stands between you and your higher power. And one of the things that I think the Christian church, or I should say the leader of the Christian church, Jesus, said was that let no man get between you and God. You know, he said, you know, that they coined the phrase a personal relationship. And that's exactly what I think it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be you and your Creator, one-on-one, face-to-face, you know, like the beginning in Genesis where they talk about God walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the evening. You know, they walked. They hung out. And I think too many people want someone to go hang out with God for them, and they don't ever have the experience that they should have, that one-on-one experience. And we do that out of fear. We're afraid that, you know, we're not good enough to hang out with our higher power. You know, and that's just ridiculous because you've been created in an image. And that image is good. So it's a wonderful thing. So what I've learned is just to trust this power and know that it has good intended for me. And anytime I start worrying and getting crazy, that I gotta stop, I gotta sit back and I gotta listen. I got to be quiet and see where he wants me to go. And like I said, this whole journey, pun intended, didn't really start until about 2 or 3 years ago for me. Loving their music my whole life, I was afraid. I was afraid to sing, and I was afraid to fail. And I took the traditional routes and worked jobs that I didn't like and hated going to bed because I had to get up early and just grumbled about my job and grumbled about my pay. And, you know, now I'm in a place where, because I listened to that voice, I'm back to being a 10-year-old kid, you know, standing on stage, sharing the love of music with everybody. And I get to hear them say, you touched me with that song and you really made my night, or various wonderful things. And it's because I believe I learned to listen to that power and trust it. And because I did that, he said, I'm going to give you something. I'm going to give you a special gift. And now you can enjoy the rest of your life sharing that with people. It's like a reward for being a good child.
For letting go and letting go.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. That's a simple, easy way to put it. There's a lot of people out there that will get a lot out of this broadcast because of the feeling that it's so simple, we make it hard. I feel that it even says in Proverbs that don't worry about tomorrow because tomorrow can take care of itself. He also says in Romans 8:28, lean not on your own understanding because he will make your path straight. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, for in his ways he will make your path straight. And I've learned a hard lesson to not allow other people to affect me, no matter what it is, whether it's in a relationship or whether it's just in you know, daily, regular life, from going to the store to being in traffic, because there's nothing I can do about it. I'm powerless. I'm powerless over people, but I am in control of myself. And I look at things that have knocked me down over the years, and I take those and I apply them to make things even bigger and better. It just is to me like God saying, well, we're going to weed that out and we'll start it this way. If you could turn, do you have your computer on?
No, I'm actually away from all electronics, so I can just focus on you.
Well, great. If you could give the active listening audience, the up-and-coming people that would like to start a band or, you know, work in music and in the music field, could you go through the steps of how you got there?
Yeah, sure, I can do that. First off, for all singers out there, you've got to realize that if you love singing, that's enough. Don't listen to the Simon Cowells of the world about how you're not ever going to make it. If you love something, you just got to embrace it. And if you love it, it's your love that will shine through. And that's what people will be drawn to. There are so many, what some people would say, not very good singers out there making a living singing. And they did it because they weren't afraid to try and embrace it. And that's the first key. If you love something, you got to put your whole heart into it and trust. The second thing is you got to surround yourself with people that believe in your dream. If you don't have people on your team, on your side, then it's going to be like a tug of war, and you're never going to get anywhere. You want everybody to be pulling on the rope in the same direction. And if that takes 10 years or 20 years, and it's your dream, then it's worth taking the time to find that right team. You have to realize that people on this earth are struggling with their own, where do I fit in? What is the meaning of life? And they may get cranky. And that's just part of it. Starting a band is like being married to, if you have five people in the band, five other people. Marriage between two people is hard. Imagine marriage between five people. You have to be patient and trust that it'll work out. And if you do what you love, then you'll see that the steps will kind of just bring themselves to you. And don't ever pretend to be something you're not. That's funny coming from me because I make a living singing someone else's songs and in some part pretending to be Steve Perry from Journey. But the funny thing for me is that Steve Perry's been such a big part of my life. He's almost a part of me in a way. And I think that's one of the reasons why I'm very good at what I do. As a younger musician, people would say, sing with a growlier voice or a deeper voice. And I listened and it didn't get me anywhere. It wasn't who I was. I was trying to fit someone's mold so they would like me. And now I'm singing what I love and doors are opening. So that right there, I think, is the main key. I hope that answers the question.
That is a very good answer. The thing is to me, looking at you doing tributes to Journey is an honor because you're giving him the recognition of where you got your work, and what you're doing is you're honoring him by giving it his name and also saying, I love your work, by giving giving him the credit of where it came from. And if everybody could do that, that write these books out there today, that broadcast out there today, that use other people's material, what their life was and how they walked their walk and how they lived through things and taking it on as their identity, it's not going to get them anywhere because it's empty. And I like what you said about God being the stage, being actually the main person on the stage, because to me, I am God. God is in me through the Holy Spirit. And if I have to remember that I pick my own people that are going to be in it, from actors to actresses, which is like your band. You know, they're on your stage and they are a part of you. But you're the one that's in control of you and they're in control of them. And we bring on people in our stage of life to perform this life's journey in order to do the best we can, in order to give the best we can. And it just gets blessings over and over and over if we have the right motives. Because motives are very important. You know, I realize a lot of people's motives are selfish manners. And I'm not saying this against anyone. I'm 55 years old. And I've grown through a lot of wisdom through my parents, my Cherokee grandparents, great-grandparents, my German blood, and, you know, the different ways that I was raised in all types of religion, but staying strong in Christianity, because that's what it is. It's that pure vessel. If somebody could die for me, and allow me to know that I have everlasting life by him coming back and teaching me that, or the Comforter comes to me, then I know that I'm not ever alone, even if I feel alone. I've always got him to talk to, and I've always got him to listen to, and that'll guide me directly in the straight path every way.
Yeah. Well, you know, speaking on what you just said there, we are a crazy world when we're disconnected from our higher power, when we're disconnected from the spirit, because when we're disconnected, we are like an animal backed in a corner. It's me against the world, and that's a scary place to be. Yeah. But when you're connected to your power, you're connected to everyone. You're connected to everything. So how could you do harm to it? It's like hurting your own child. Why would you do that?
Right.
You know, so that's why if you want me to encourage anyone out there, if you're hurting, if you're scared, if you're confused, it's because you believe you're alone. And to be honest, you never will. You can't be alone in this world. I'm amazed that I could actually get away for this short time and talk with you. This world is so crowded. I know it seems that it's a cold world sometimes, but that's because we are surrounded by people that are disconnected from that power, and they don't know it either. Sometimes we just need to reach out and say, hey, I'm a human being, and I'm alone. And even that small sentence, sometimes we'll reach out to somebody and make them realize, no, you're not, you know, because they feel alone too. That realization of connection.
That's a very good way of putting it. I tell you, Ernie, that the ways that you place things out there so simply for others, in such layman terms, you're touching a lot of people out there today, tonight. And I'm really honored to have you here. I know that we only met last night at, 1 o'clock in the morning, and you played that song for me. And I was like, oh, my gosh. And I just had to have you on here because your message is so profound. How did you come about the Silent Night part?
Oh, you know, let me see. I'm to try and organize my thoughts about that. I have a show coming up this Saturday in South Carolina at the Sylvia Theater in New York. And it's a different kind of show because it's in a theater and it's a two-hour show and the audience is sitting in theater seats. So it's sort of more like a Journey concert than a typical barroom concert or our typical venue, which is people dancing and having a wild time. This is a more subdued audience, and they're calling it their Christmas show. So I got to thinking, I said, oh, my goodness, maybe we should do a Christmas song, because the theater manager, she said to me, we're going to have a Christmas tree on the stage. And it just got me thinking. I said, oh, this is not a rock show. This is almost a Christmas show. So I started searching the Internet for Christmas songs because I wanted to see if there was one that would touch me. And I came across the guitar piece that's backing me on that online, and I emailed the gentleman. I said, would you mind if I use this? I want to put my vocals to it. He said, oh, yeah, no, that'd be great. That'd be wonderful. And I first time I sat down, I'll be honest with you, it was horrible. I could not sing it to save the life of me because here's the funny thing. I approached it thinking, how would Steve Perry sing Silent Night? And it was just not working. And I was thinking, this is just not going to work. I've got to scrap this whole idea. But then I listened to the guitar again by itself through headphones, and I just felt surrounded by what this man put into his guitar, his love. It just, for me, it oozed love. And I said, I don't want to throw this away, and I don't want to make it worse. What should I do? And I just felt something inside say, sing it like you'd sing it. You know, just stop trying to be somebody else here and, you know, think of the words. You know, think of what the song means and try to communicate that to the people who might hear it. And so I brought up the lyrics, you know, and the funny thing is you're recording a song and you're not really looking at what the words mean. And I started looking at the words and taking them in, and I said, wow, this song is deep. This song is much more than I thought it was. And I'd always liked the melody as a child, you know. For some reason, it always resonated with me. And I took another shot at it, and believe it or not, I recorded that earlier last night. I recorded that between the hours of 5 p.m. and maybe 9 p.m., 4 hours of working on it. And then I, in a rush, I just wanted everyone to hear it because I loved it so much. And you happen to be one of those people who heard it. So in preparation for that concert, I wanted to see how it would sound, you know, before I committed to doing this Christmas song. And, I'm overwhelmed at how good it turned out, and I just love the angelic feel of it. It has a majesty to it. I'm just grateful that it turned out.
Yeah. When you sang that song, and I was listening to it, and you asked me to critique it, I felt as if everything that was on me that I didn't realize was bothering me melted off of me, and I was so centered so quickly into each word, into each piece of music, and that guitar is amazing, and your voice. That's why when you sent me the whole thing that had different songs on it, the reverberation, the next song was on, and I said, whoa, you got Steve Perry in here with you. And you told me you weren't Steve Perry, but I thought you were. I mean, I thought that was part of it, you know? I thought you were just singing your song and then hooking Steve Perry in. That's the difference in your voice and Steve Perry's voice. When you sing your way, your voice, and how you can throw off the Steve Perry, because he's amazing. I have a name that I go by once in a while, a long time ago, called Journey Seekers, before I became known as Bright Lights Pathfinders, because I feel like we're all on this journey, and we're seeking other people in like minds, and then it changed to Bright Lights Pathfinders, because we're all a bright light, searching for that Pathfinder's way, and to get everybody on board, because this bridge in wisdom, is just like I am sitting back here on the bridge, and you're sharing your wisdom of how you came about, and where you went, and how you got there, and the feelings that you get surrounding all that you are, and that is just a beautiful message you've got out there.
Oh, thank you so much, Kathy. You know, we all got a story to tell. You know, we all have a story, every life, you know. And the next time I challenge, anytime you're frustrated or anyone's frustrated with somebody, just think of that person as a child. Think of them as a child that wasn't treated right. Something just didn't quite go well for them and they're frustrated. And you being a higher enlightened person, you know, because we all think we're more enlightened than we are, really. I mean, I wish I was further along the path than I am. And sometimes it's nice to be humbled. But, you know, I look at a frustrated person. When I'm having a good day, I don't let them get to me because I realize they're just living their life and they're on their path and they're living their story. And they just happen to be having a bad day in their story. And I know we all have them. So I just, you know, it's funny. The more I live, the more I realize that everybody has a story to tell. And if I made more time, I'd learn a lot more from listening to people.
Well, you know, my dad used to tell me all the time, you just don't listen, but I've got more wisdom than you, but, you know, and so as he passed, I started listening more to everything, to the feelings, emotions, the way a person, you know, everything about him. And I learned also that inside of myself, I have a teacher self, I have a student self, I have the adult self, and I have the child within. And when my child within acts out, like in that corner, like you were saying, as long as my adult self will give it a hug and understanding that all is okay and it doesn't need to act out because I'm there taking care of it. I did an exercise. I'm left-handed, so I wrote in my right hand as if I was my child inside. And I told my adult self exactly what I needed, what I felt, how I felt let down, you know, and disappointed, my tears and my fears. And with my adult hand, which is my left hand dominant, I wrote back to that child and I told them, I will never leave you. I didn't know you felt this way. I am here for you. I love you. You are part of me. You're just as much a part of me as I am you. As a matter of fact, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. It's a lot of time in the children will lead you. And then we have that teacher self that teaches us the right from wrong and what we should and shouldn't do and how we should be, which comes to the morals, you know, that we were raised with. But to me, I used to go to church a lot, all the time. I was a member of a Baptist church where we did GAs, RAs, and Lady in Waiting, and Princess and Queen, and, you know, I loved it. But as I got older, it was not feeding me because it felt like a controlled environment.
Oh, I agree there. I do. I mean, you got to realize that's fear. You know, churches, organizations, you know, and again, please, anyone listening, I'm not bashing churches. They do amazing, amazing things for people, and it's not good to just focus on the negative. But in the context of this conversation, they're organizations. They need to keep the lights on. They need to keep people coming. And they, you know, it isn't only about helping people. It's about keeping their business running. And they have a need, and anytime you have a need, and you don't trust God to provide that need, and you need the, you know, the collection to be up, and you need to sell this, and you need to, you stop being connected to the spirit. And people sense that, and that's what they pull away from it. They say, you know, I have a joke that I usually tell. People say, are you going to church on Sunday? And I say, oh, yeah, I go every Sunday. I belong to the Church of the Holy Comforter. you know, and it's a joke saying that I lay in bed every Sunday and have a great sleep. And it's not that I don't believe in church. I think church is an amazing community, and it, honestly, it's something I miss. But now the people that come to the Journey shows that we do, they've become my family. They've become my community. And it, in a lot of ways, we hold church Fridays and Saturdays nights in the bars and in the taverns, because Journey songs are about hope and belief.
Nice.
You know, when their songs, don't stop believing, you know, it says hang in there. You're going to be all right if you just keep faith and keep going. But they don't understand. I don't think they understand that a lot of people need more than what they're offering. They need that personal relationship. Sometimes the walls that get put up stop people from seeing face to face what they come from, what they're connected to. And they seek other things. You know, and I think that's also part of God's plan. I think He planned the church, and I think He planned people to walk away from it.
Right.
And as you walk away, or as I walk away, or whoever walks away from it, there's a new person walking in that needs it. And that's why it needs to be there.
Very nice. I go to church once in a while, but I feel that I sit still a lot in my home and in a Buddha position, or Indian style, or whatever you want to call it. But I listen to music, as a matter of fact, and it takes me out there. I can be swimming in a lake. I can be circling the stars. I can bounce right on down back into the depths of the ocean in that song. And I can also know that I'm safe, because those musical tunes, the notes, if we listen actively to each note at the same time, it will take you on a journey that is amazing. I've walked on water in my dreams before. And God says, how are you doing that? I said, because I can. I have no doubt. Because my faith is that strong.
That's wonderful. It really is. You know, the thing is a lot of people overlook the really small things in scriptures. And one of them is that you, meaning us, all of us, are uniquely and wonderfully made. Uniquely and wonderfully made. So if we're so unique and we're so wonderful, why is it that the world thinks we all have to do everything exactly the same way? I mean, we all have unique fingerprints. Well, we all have unique thoughts. We're all individual people.
Mm-hmm.
So why is it Sunday morning at 9 a.m. is the only way to hear God's voice? Not true. God knows your DNA. He knows who you are. He knows the numbers of hair on your head. And He knows how to reach you. He just wants you to be open to it. And what I think about the church is I think the church is almost like a hospital. If you're wounded so much that you can't hear His voice, it's nice to have these places that you can wander into and hear somebody talking about. And when I say church, I mean any church. I'm not talking about this Christian church, because you never know what your DNA might be. You never know what might reach you. Maybe you need to lock in and hear about how someone died for you. You know, that's what worked for me. I thought I was worthless. And when I walked in a church, I heard this story about how this perfect man was willing to die for me. Well, you know, they say, you never know what the value of something is until you know how much it costs. Well, apparently I'm pretty valuable, because if the Son of God was willing to die for me, then, well, that's pretty valuable. That's a high price to pay. So maybe I'm not so horrible, you know? And it helped me take another look at myself and maybe see myself maybe through more truer eyes, you know? So I tell everybody out there, you know, it's not about knocking the church. It's about trusting it when you need it and trusting it when it's time to walk away from it and get a closer walk, a personal walk, and, you know, see where you can help.
I tell you what, that reminds me of a poem that I wrote a long time ago, and it's real simple. It's, I am me. I am everywhere I put me. I'm in between. I am what I say, do, and shout. I'm backed with my measurable clout. For you are you, and I am me. We are uniquely packaged spiritually.
I love it. That's beautiful.
Well, thank you. I love to write. The thing that I wish that I put out there for people is I know they're hungry, and I know that they are wanting to make something out of themselves and look at me, but it's not about the look at me. It's about finding their own identity, finding their own feelings of what they hear to write the book about or to tell the story about, and not other people's work, but their work, so that they can feel even more gratitude that it came from their heart and that they own it, instead of always looking behind the shadows, you know, knowing that they had used other people's work. Like with you, you use Steve's words, but you give him the credit. You give him the honor and tribute to it. So that's a difference. If someone out there uses, say, something that I've written and it's been broadcast about, I hear it all the time. But the connecting the dots is just that. It is something that they have to live, and they have to walk their own journey through. And I hope everybody is able to work together for those who love the Lord. Because it takes 1 + 1 - 1 to make that one. And we're all one in this world to make the good for the world with peace.
And with that, I couldn't agree with you more there, Kathy.
Thank you so much. We have less than 5 minutes left. I would like for the engineer Seth at BBS Radio, and to say hello to Don and Doug, the owners of BBS Radio, thanking us for having the opportunity to have this airtime. It is December the 6th, 2011, Tuesday, on Bridging Wisdom, and we are with Ernie Shepherd. He sings songs that are tribute to Journey, which is amazing. And we're going to close the show with Faithfulness that you have sung. And I appreciate
it's
you.
It's been a pleasure being here. Thank you so
pleasure
much.
Pleasure being with you as well. And I hope you come back really soon.
Hey, all you have to do is ask me, and I'll be happy to come back.
How can people get a hold of you?
Well, the band's website is www.trialbyfirejourney.net. And we'd love for you to log in and leave us a comment. Or just, you know, bookmark us and follow us and come to find more. And you can also email me directly from that site, too. I'd love to answer any questions anyone might have.
And you have something coming. What are your up-and-coming gigs that you have?
Friday, we are up in Greensboro, North Carolina, at a place called The Clubhouse. And then Saturday, we're at the Sylvia Theater in York, South Carolina. And those are two great shows. And then the following weekend, we're off to somewhere else. And everybody can find that at the website. Just click on the schedule button, and you can follow us. And we are just grateful to anybody that likes what we do, because we love doing it for them. So.
That's amazing. Seth, Ernie, I just want to say thank you. You have humbled my heart once again. And just beautiful the way you touch the world. For you're such a star that's singing. As you just think of this broadcast, as I was just a conductor, finding out what star you are and bringing it down to where everybody can see such a bright light as you are in your band and all that you give to us. And with that said, we're going to ask. Excuse me?
I just wanted to say thank you. The pleasure was mine.
Well, God bless. And we'll see you out there. And Seth, we're ready to hear Faithfulness. And we'll close the show. The same.